Then we'll take our Bibles. We're going to go to John chapter 1 this evening. John chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 35 down through verse 45. Another portrait this evening. We'll keep it a little shorter tonight because we have the business meeting afterwards. But in John chapter 1, it's a portrait of an invitation. Portrait of an invitation. John chapter 1, starting in verse 35. And the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Let's start with prayer. Lord, we're thankful tonight that we can be in your house. We're thankful again for the word of God. We ask for your blessing now upon your word and upon our time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. How many of you have ever eaten at an In-N-Out burger? All right, a couple have. Yeah, so I was trying to think if I've ever eaten one. I don't know that I have, but they're not around here, right? They are out west, and then there's some in Texas, and I think and there's some in Tennessee. And so I've been to those places, but I don't know if I ate at an In-N-Out burger. They're kind of, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say they're kind of all the same, but with exception, I'm not going into that. I'm going to get myself in trouble. All right. But anyways, I bring up In-N-Out burger because they are known for doing very little traditional marketing. They don't do very much of the TV commercials. They don't do much of that. They will put up some billboards when there's a new one that's opening, and they don't have many of them. They'll do maybe some radio ads and occasionally TV commercials, but certainly not as much as other fast food places will do. Instead, they rely on word of mouth, on like sort of a cult following. There's people who are really into In-N-Out Burger. One thing they do is they give out free bumper stickers. It's just a black background with In-N-Out Burger written on it. And people will put those on their bumpers. Anybody have one? Oh, okay. Why not? Right, but they'll give these out, and it's like just getting people to talk about this and promote it like individually to their friends. So they want people to just communicate that. Contrast that with McDonald's. Right, McDonald's spends on average $4 billion on marketing. $4 billion they spend to market their burgers and other things. Probably because they don't get a lot of word, like personal recommendations from people. I don't remember the last time I heard somebody go, "Hey, you should try McDonald's. It's really good." I don't think they get a lot of that sort of advertising where people are recommending to their friends to go try the newest whatever is at McDonald's, right? So it makes sense. They have to then go out and spend billions of dollars talking us into going to McDonald's. But there's all different sort of strategies for marketing and different ways to do it. There's a lot of advertising, if we could put it that way, going on in John chapter 1. I prefer to use the term inviting. That's why I said a portrait of an invitation instead of a portrait of an advertisement. But it's telling people about something that's going on. In this case, it's someone. Telling people about Jesus Christ and letting them know what has happened to them, what they know, and then inviting other people to go and meet Jesus for themselves. And there's three different sort of invitations that take place. The first one is that the invitation that John the Baptist gives in verse 35, 36, and 37, where John the Baptist is there, and he is pointing people to Jesus Christ, and we know this was his ministry, right? And there's the Bible says that he was out in the wilderness just preaching about repentance and then pointing people to the Messiah that was coming. And multitudes went out to hear John, and they were baptized in the Jordan River, repenting of their sins. And then here in this case, he's there with two of his disciples, and we don't know if there was also a multitude that was there, but definitely these two disciples. And as he's there with his disciples, he sees Jesus as he walked, and he just points to Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And he's pointing out who Jesus Christ is as the person they need to be following. And in verse 37, the two disciples heard him and they followed Jesus. They turned from John and said, we're now going to follow the Messiah. And so here's John. And maybe we could talk about John as being like that mass marketing man, because he's just preaching to the multitudes, right? But we also see him dealing with individuals, pointing two of his disciples to follow Jesus Christ. There's another invitation in verse 38, where Jesus turns and he sees those two disciples who are now following him. And he says to them, what seek ye? And they ask him, where dwellest thou? And he simply says unto them in verse 39, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And Jesus gives them this like personal invitation. They've started to follow him, and he looks at them and he invites them to like spend time with him and to get to know him, to come and stay with him. He's inviting them into this personal relationship with him, but dealing with them personally, giving them this personal invitation to be his disciples. But then there's another invitation that I really want to look at tonight, and that is the one that Jesus's disciples then go and give to other people. Because in verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him, followed Jesus, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So we have them go from, they're following John. John points them to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ then invites them to spend time with him, and now they're going to invite someone else. And it starts with Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. In verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. So Andrew goes and finds his brother, Simon Peter, and he tells him about the Messiah, the one that they've met. And he goes, "This, you got to meet this guy. You have to come hear what we've heard. You have to come see the person we have met." And there's this word of mouth communication about who Jesus is and how they need, or how Simon Peter needs to come meet him. So Andrew's the first one. And then we find in verse 45, the invitation that Philip gives to Nathanael. And they're very similar in like one in their response to Jesus Christ, that they immediately go and find someone else after they meet Jesus, but also in the message that they give. And so in verse 43, Jesus meets Philip and says to him, follow me. And then in verse 45, Philip goes right away and he finds Nathanael and says to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So Philip immediately goes and he finds Nathanael. And Nathanael is known in other gospels as Bartholomew. We're probably more familiar with that name for him. But it's the same message. He goes, we found the Messiah. And he adds on the one that is prophesied by Moses and the prophets. But I find it very interesting that these men, immediately after they meet Jesus Christ, immediately they're like, oh, so-and-so needs to hear about this. I have to go tell Peter. I have to go tell Nathanael about this person that I have met. And it's this like word of mouth advertising. And we look at it and go, maybe it's driven by like excitement that they have met the Messiah, the one who all the prophets have talked about. They've probably grew up hearing about the promises of the Messiah and how great it's going to be when the Messiah comes and deliverance and all of that. And now they're like, we've met him, and they're just so excited. And there's a lot of, in modern terms, hype around Jesus Christ. And so they're just so excited about what they found that they have to go and tell someone else. And I think that's probably part of it, but I don't think that's everything. I think more than that, though, it is that this is the work that Jesus does in his followers. Because Jesus would look at others' disciples and he would say, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus said, when you follow me, this is what I'm going to do, is I'm going to give you a heart for other people. And I'm going to turn you into people that want to talk about Jesus and want to reach other people. I think it was more than just, we're excited about the Messiah. I think it was the work of God in them to drive them to go and invite other people to bring to Jesus Christ. And there's two attributes that I think we see in these disciples as they go and invite others. One is that they go and do it. They went and found people to invite. They were aggressive, if we can use that word, about going, not just waiting passively. You know, if the only food that you ate was food that was brought to you, would be hungry a lot of the time, or we would blow our budget on Uber Eats or something like that. If the only food we ate was food that was brought to us, right? You generally have to go and find food and get food. Now, I'm thankful to have a wife who does a lot of preparing of food and makes it into like an edible fashion so that I don't have to do much. I just go to the table and it's there for me. So I'm very thankful for that. But I still have to leave where I am and go to where she's placed the food. It's not very often, and it's fine, I'm not complaining, but it's not very often that she brings it to me in bed. It's like, here's the food, right? She puts it on the table because that's where we eat food. And so I still have to go there. I think I'd get in trouble if I tried to change things around in the home and were like, you were going to bring the food to me all the time, right? There is the going and getting it. And if we lived, you know, 1,000 years ago, it would be a lot more of the going and the getting of the food, right? You'd have to go out and pick it in the garden or go and hunt for it, right? Nowadays, probably the distance we go is to the fridge, you know, or somewhere like that. But there is the going and having to go and get it and not just wait for it to come to us. And this is what the Bible tells us about us inviting people is that we are to go. We're told over and over, go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There is a command for us to leave where we are and go to where they are to invite them. There are times where God brings people to us, where we're just kind of going about our day and maybe to our shame, we're not even thinking about it. And all of a sudden, God brings someone to us and we're like, oh, I'm supposed to invite them to Jesus. I'm supposed to talk to them about Jesus. And we see that like opening of the door. We see that opportunity. And sometimes God does that. But he also tells us, I want you to go to where they are. We're not supposed to just sit back and wait for them to come to us. We go and we hand out the invitation. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. There's a parable that Jesus Christ gives, and it's a parable of a man who has made a great feast. And he sends out his servant to invite those that are on the guest list. And so the servant goes out and he goes to these different individuals and they all come back with, oh, I can't come because I have this reason and that reason. So they give all their excuses. So then after the servant comes back and, in verse 21 of Luke 14, so the servant came, he came back to the master, showed his Lord these things, that all they made all these excuses. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, all right, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And the master just looks at the servant and says, all right, if the ones we've invited aren't coming, then go out and get some others. Go ahead, go everywhere, right? Go all these different places, find all these sorts of people, whoever wants to bring them in. But he's not saying we're going to just open the doors and wait for them to arrive. He says, you're going to go out there and he says, you're going to compel them to come in. Be a bit aggressive about bringing these people in. Let them know that they are welcome. Let them know that they have a place at this table. But he looked at his servants and he said, don't just stand here. Go and get them. Go out. And this is what we find in these disciples, where they heard about Jesus Christ and they met Jesus. And the next thing they do is they go. And they go and they hand out invitations to people that they know. And they're like, I know someone who needs to know about the Messiah. And they go. So that's the first attribute we find, is that they're going and inviting people. But the second attribute we find is that they both spoke a very specific message. They had a very specific invitation that they give. And back in John chapter 1, it's that they are specifically talking to them about Jesus, because that's what people need to hear. Both of them. I mean, Andrew goes and he finds Peter and he says in verse 41, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. When Philip goes and finds Nathanael, he says in verse 45, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. That's what they do. They just tell them about Jesus Christ. And that is what we go and we tell, because that is what people are seeking for. And you know, if you've talked to people, you'll find some people who you start to talk to them about Jesus, and they try and talk about other things, and they'll talk about other needs that they have, like they need a job, or you know, they need, like, they're struggling in this relationship, or they talk about politics or all sorts of things, right? And they'll talk about other issues that they might have or they're dealing with. We're not there really to talk about those things. We are there to talk to them about Jesus Christ, because that is the main issue that they have. And if they don't solve that issue, it doesn't matter if we solve every other issue in their life. They need Jesus. And these two disciples, they don't go there and they don't talk to Peter about, hey, you know, fishing. Fishing's great over here. I heard of this new, you know, spot. We need to go try this spot. They just go and they tell them about Jesus Christ, because that is what matters above everything else. Give them Jesus, because that's the message that we've been given. And I think what's also interesting is verse 45, where Philip talks to Nathanael and he references the Old Testament law. He references Moses and the law and the prophets. And he's referencing the Word of God. And I think it's important for us as we share Jesus Christ to make sure we're giving the Word of God. Because the Word of God, Hebrews says, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, right? It's the power that's in the Word of God that's not in my words. It's Scripture. It's important to give them verses, to take them to the Word of God. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says that his word is not going to return void. We have a lot of promises about what God's word is going to do. And I'm trying to think if there's any about what my words are going to do. It's about the Word of God. It's giving them the Word of God and the power that is there in Scripture. And that's what we share. We share Jesus Christ from the Word of God. And it's a portrait of an invitation where these two disciples looked at Jesus Christ and they said, I know someone who needs to hear about you. And they went. They went and found them. They went and told them about Jesus Christ. There's people all around us that need to hear about Jesus Christ, that need an invitation. And I can't stand here tonight and promise you how they're going to respond and say, oh, they're definitely going to, you know, respond like these disciples did. And the first person you talk to is going to be very excited to hear about Jesus, and they're going to come to church and get saved and all those things. But their response isn't our responsibility. How they respond to the gospel is not up to us. We are there just to give them Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility. It is, you share Jesus Christ. What they do with Jesus is up to them, and that's their response. But we have to focus on our responsibility. And Jesus has looked at us and said, you go into all the world and you preach the gospel to every creature. You go and you preach the gospel. You share Jesus Christ. That is what we are supposed to do. And I want to look at one more passage, Matthew chapter 5, because I want to tie this back to our purpose from this morning. So Matthew chapter 5, maybe I'll ask you like I asked the Bible class, what is our greatest purpose in life? Glorify God. All right, there we go. So Matthew chapter 5, in verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. We'll pause right there for a moment. All right, this is what we're doing. We're the light of the world. We are that lighthouse that's set on a hill that's sending out this message of God and the gospel, right? And we're doing this with both what we say and how we live our life. We are inviting people to Jesus Christ. But that last part of verse 16 is that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. For the glory of God, ultimately, right? People are saved for the glory of God. We share the message of the gospel for the glory of God. That is, preaching the gospel is a purpose in life that leads to the greatest purpose of glorifying God. So let's be a portrait of someone that is going out and inviting people. Let's use the opportunities God brings our way. Let's use our relationships. Maybe there's someone that God has put on your heart and he says, I want you to go and invite them. Go tell them about the gospel. But let's do this. Let's be people that are spreading the word of mouth advertising about how great Jesus Christ is. Let's close with prayer. Lord, I'm thankful for the gospel, and I'm thankful that someone shared that with us, whether it was our parents or a friend or an acquaintance or even just a stranger. Lord, someone someday shared with us the gospel, and we trusted in you. Lord, we have a great responsibility to take what we have been given and to share that with others. Lord, I pray that you would help our eyes to be open to the opportunities that you bring our way. Lord, give us the boldness that we need to talk to people who don't know about Jesus. Give us the strength. Give us the words to say, the verses to share. But Lord, we pray that as we live our lives as a testimony for you, that you'd be glorified in us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.